Glad you're with us on 104.5 The Zone this afternoon. Crew is all here, and every Wednesday at this time, pleased to be joined by Greg Cosell of NFL Films. Greg, great to see you via the magic of Zoom.
It's great to see you guys. It's been a while. It's been the combine since I've actually seen you guys in person. Yeah. The combine seems like it happened about 20 years ago.
Yeah, it really does.
That's a great point. It's amazing that was late February when you think back on that. It feels like late February of 2017.
No question.
That might happen.
Of course, I've gotten to know every nook and cranny in my house better than I ever thought I would.
Yeah, and we've all got that. We found out how easy it is to broadcast from home. We feel like the show has been okay, even though we've been broadcasting from home. We're ready to be back in studio. You mentioned the combine. That was nearly around the same time that all of us saw each other in person.
That's right.
Weeks after that, when we were sent home.
And Chad wasn't feeling great after that, when he thinks he could have conceivably had it.
I came home with the chills that night, had severe chills, and felt different. It was a sickness that I've never felt before for the next 2 or 3 days. But it was weird, because I'm thinking, you know, everybody there was sick. You know, there were people we had scheduled to interview that that missed their shows because they were sick that week. So it's interesting to think back on it now, for sure.
Greg Cosell with us from NFL Films as we take a look at the impact players from the Titans rookie class and what could be for this upcoming season, as we just assume that everyone stays healthy and that we're a go for the season, Greg. Let's take a look at Isaiah Wilson in the tackle position. Look, at the tackle position, easy from the alignment standpoint. You know exactly where you're lining up on each and every play, but being able to recognize the different fronts, to work up to that second level, the timing aspect of the hat on the hat with the running back as well, and timing that up properly. When you think of Isaiah Wilson at right tackle, does he check those boxes?
And you don't know that for certain. Because what you get, the difference between college and the NFL and even playing in the SEC, is still the multiple front looks, which require a lot of communication just before the snap of the ball. And that's something that we don't know about until we see it. And then the multiple pressure looks that you get when you get into longer yardage situations. So you get the multiple fronts, the multiple pressures, and the communication that's involved. Now, one thing I remember from studying Isaiah Wilson's tape at Georgia is that he's very physical in the run game, but I thought there were times in the pass game where he just gave up the edge a little bit. And of course, we know in the NFL, the speed with which the edge rushers come at you is a little different than even in the SEC. So there's always questions about a rookie offensive lineman playing on the edge. And the good thing for the Titans is they still have Dennis Kelly, and he can line up there at right tackle if need be. But I think Isaiah Wilson is a very gifted player and a tenacious, competitive guy, and he was a first-round draft choice. So he's expected to be a starter in this odd offseason and odd season as a whole. It may not be week one, but he was drafted to be the starting right tackle, and that will happen eventually.
You know, we discuss at times those cliche welcome to the NFL moments. And just for hypothetical purposes only, imagine Isaiah Wilson starting week one, Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos and Fangio's front. That's the prime example of what you're talking about.
And then all of a sudden it's 3rd and 9 and there's Von Miller. And that's a little different situation than he's faced in his life. So those are the situations you have to deal with. And don't forget, then it gets down to game planning and what you do as an offense and how to help and deal with it. And as soon as you have to add bodies to pass protection, you're taking bodies out of your eligible receivers. Obviously, there's 5 eligible receivers on every play. And in an ideal world, on 3rd and long, you'd like to get all 5 out. You may not be able to do that if Isaiah Wilson is your starter week one. Now, that may be true even if it's Dennis Kelly, because Von Miller is top 1, 2, or 3 as far as edge pass rusher in the NFL. So you may have to do that anyway.
Let's transition to Wilson in the run game, where you really like him. Outside zone, a lot of timing in that. Inside zone, cutback, and outside is more downhill or a bounce out for the running back. But the timing, both front side and backside, that's what's important in that scheme. Walk us through your evaluation of Isaiah Wilson from that sense.
Yeah, I thought he was good in the run game. And it's funny you mentioned zone, which is the predominant run that I think you'll see from the Titans, although it won't be 100%. They'll also run some gap scheme where they pull the guard and you get down blocks. And I think Isaiah Wilson will be dynamic when it comes to down blocks on play side, because that's where I think he's really strong, because he's a powerful man. And when he has the angle to create contact and generate power through his hips and his core, he can really move people. But for a man his size, he's light on his feet. And I think that's something the Titans obviously saw. And that's why he was drafted as well, because in the zone run game, you need your offensive linemen to be light on their feet. And I think he's light enough on his feet to be able to execute that zone run game effectively.
You've emphasized that light on his feet. How does that translate to speed if they're running outside zone and he really needs to get outside? How fast is he to get out there? Yeah. And well, how does light on your feet translate speed-wise?
Yeah, and then it gets down to how you block it. Different, you know, it's funny. Different O-line coaches will talk about the zone game differently. I've talked to a bunch of them, and some will just categorize it as inside zone, outside zone. Some will categorize it as inside zone, mid zone, outside zone, stretch zone. You know, it all depends on the coach and how they see it. So now, if it's not pure stretch zone where you're really getting wide, then Wilson doesn't have to play with speed per se. If it's more of just pure outside zone, which I think it will be with Derrick Henry, by the way, I don't think it'll be a big stretch thing. I think it'll be more of your kind of generic outside zone. And I think speed is not as important as just getting off the ball with that outside step and just making sure that there's no penetration up the field. Because the last thing you want to have happen is you want the back to be able to be proactive in choosing where he cuts downhill. You don't want the defense to dictate where he has to cut. You want to be able to move in synchronicity with that O-line so the back can read, and then he can decide where the gap is based on his reading of the blocks.
Greg, when certain franchises, they draft a guy and immediately the reaction is, oh, that's the perfect Raven, or that's the perfect Steeler, or that's the perfect Patriot, based on scheme, based on where they played sometimes, based on who they played for in college, everything else, size. Immediately you'll look at it and say, okay, that makes a lot of sense. When Isaiah Wilson was drafted by the Titans, do you feel like that was a pick that made a lot of sense for the Titans and their offensive line and ultimately what they want to do? Or is Isaiah Wilson simply a prospect that could be a great right tackle for a lot of teams in the NFL? It's not really team specific with what the Titans want.
I think it's both, Chad. I think it is team specific in this case. I like the player a lot, and I had no idea who would draft him, obviously. But I think in this case, you're drafting a guy who's a very, very good run blocker. He's a massive human being. We know how the Titans want to play football. He played that way a year ago and got to the AFC Championship game. Now, they may add some things because obviously the coaching staff's the same on offense, and for the most part, the personnel's the same on offense. So even through virtual learning this offseason, I'm sure they're able to add and build on what they did a year ago. But the core foundation, Chad, is very much the same. We know that. They signed Derrick Henry. They paid him a good amount of money for a running back. This is what their offense will look like. So Isaiah Wilson fit exactly how they want to play.
Greg, let's move to Christian Fulton at corner, and the Cliff Notes version of the position would tell us it's the easiest thing to teach man-to-man on the outside first for a corner coming into the league. Why is that? And then let's take it a step further and say, why does Christian Fulton fit the mold of potentially playing inside?
And again, the inside part is questionable. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how John Robinson, Mike Vrabel feel about that. He predominantly played outside, but at LSU, they play a ton of man coverage and a ton of press man. And we know, I had this conversation actually with Coach Mack. It's much easier to teach man coverage because the bottom line is, yes, are there always techniques involved? Of course, but it's much easier to say you got him than to start teaching a guy all the different layers of zone coverage that are involved with eyes, leverage, passing off a guy, carrying a guy, yardage markers, route concepts and combinations that you have to be aware of based on splits. There are so many more factors involved with zone coverage than there are with man coverage, where it's, hey, you got him. And Christian Fulton has a ton of experience playing man coverage. And one thing the film showed, and I did have some concerns with his technique, which I think they'll ideally work on, but he's a competitive guy. And I think when you play a lot of man at the corner position, sometimes you're not looking pretty, but you have to compete. And I think that he showed that very much so when you watched his tape at LSU.
And I mean, the Titans play a lot of combination man zone, and that would mean that that player is counted on in the run front for the defense as well. Yep. That's another big part of this.
And he has a physical competitive nature to him. Now, assuming Coach Vrabel does a lot of what Coach Pease did a year ago, one of the things they were really, really good at, which we've discussed, and I had the great opportunity to discuss with Coach Pease, was a lot of the disguise and late movement. And that requires some thought and some, you know, you don't want the guy thinking through the play, but it requires learning and understanding, and it requires timing, because the last thing you want when you disguise and you move late, you can't move too late or you're out of position. So that's something he'll have to learn, because we saw a number of times last year where the Titans would show one thing on third down out of their dime, their 60 Bs, and then all of a sudden there'd be that late movement and they might go to cover two or cover three from a hardcore blitz look. And those things have to be timed up really, really well to be effective.
Darrington Evans may have the biggest impact, even though he's not going to be the starter among these three rookies from the jump. Maybe we see Fulton transition, and the same goes for Isaiah Wilson. But in Evans' case, the physical things of running the football and even splitting out and getting involved in the passing game, that should come natural to him.
Well, he was a big-time zone runner in college. That was his game, and he was really good at it, and he's explosive. You know, he's not – I wouldn't call him shifty, you know, in the sense we think of being able to cut on a dime and stop and start and all that. But the explosiveness in the outside zone run game, that was his run in college. And we know we're going to see a ton of that with the Titans, because that's one of their main foundations. And you always love to have a run game that's explosive. There's a lot of backs who are grinders and can grind it out, and they're good backs. And normally those guys are not true foundation backs in the way the league is now played, the way the NFL game is played. So you really would love to have a back that can take it to the house. And Evans is that guy. If he gets some space and some room, he has that one cut downhill ability and he can take it the distance.
What does it do to a defense now? We know a third down defense with Deion Lewis on the field was certainly accounting for him in a different way than it was accounting for Derrick Henry. But now you go to Evans, who could theoretically split out into the slot and maybe even wide if you wanted to really mess around. So defensively, what are you thinking when you see that guy, and how does it change maybe what you have to put on the field and stuff?
Well, that's a critical piece, PK. What the way this league is now moving, look, we know that corners play wide receivers man-to-man. That happens no matter what's going on. But the big thing now defensively, and the way teams look at it, is now you need defenders, and it's safeties and linebackers, to match up man-to-man to tight ends and backs. And if you can have a back who demands – a really good matchup on defense, there's not a ton of teams that can match up really well to excellent receiving backs. So if Evans can fill that role and not only be offset in the backfield, but can detach from the formation and split, then you really enhanced what you can do offensively. Look, there's not 100 Isaiah Simmons, because he's a freak in terms of size, but every team defensively is looking for a player like that who can match up man-to-man to tight ends and backs, because there's just not many of those guys. So if you can have a back who's a really good receiver and split from the formation, that's advantage offense.
Here's a line that we're going to hear, not just about Evans, but rookie backs in general, is that it's very difficult for the rookie back to come from the college level and pick up on pass pro.
Yes.
And pass protecting of actually getting in front of a defender and blocking, that's a very surface level description of what makes pass protection difficult for rookie backs. It's more about, and Greg, expand on this.
Yeah.
Recognizing and identifying fronts, and especially this offseason, on the move, that skill set has to be very difficult to acquire in a film room. That is acquired on a practice field.
Yeah, Merrill Hodge taught me this when we started working together years and years and years ago. He would always tell me that backs, particularly on third down have to understand fronts the same way quarterbacks have to understand fronts. And I'm not sure a lot of people think of it that way, Jonathan, but it's true, because backs have to understand the protection scheme and the fronts, because the bottom line is five offensive linemen are responsible for five defenders. If it's four down linemen, you know that the offensive line is responsible for the down four and for one other player that they point out. You hear that all the time. He's the Mike. He's the Mike. But then who's the back responsible for? And in an era where there's more multiple fronts, in an era where teams stand up a lot of guys, there might only be one guy on defense with their hand on the ground. The back has to understand who his man is. And sometimes it might be one of two, depending on what the defense shows. And backs have to know this. Otherwise, they won't be on the field, because the last thing you want, you can't have a passing game if you can't protect your quarterback. And the last thing coaches want is a free rusher at the quarterback.
Greg, we have a ton more to get to, especially with the trends of things you've picked up on in your conversations this offseason. That deserves more time, and we'll allocate that time potentially next week. But in our short time left, let's talk Jamal Adams in Seattle, the acquisition, yeah. Because Seattle got away from that cover three match that they want to run. Pete Carroll's defenses have always started from the back end forward. Why is it built that way? How successful has it been in recent years? And what does Adams do now that they've acquired him for that defense?
Well, Adams is really, he's a cover three player. Because Jamal Adams is really, really good at the things he does. He's not a post safety. He's not a great man-to-man defender on tight ends either. But as a box safety and as a blitzer, he's as good as there is. And that's what he is. So my sense is they'll play a ton of cover three. They won't play as much man as I think people might believe. Now, I'm not saying they won't play any man. Of course, they will. Everybody has to. But I think he's a better zone player in coverage. I think that he's a great blitzer. I think they'll become a little more creative in their pressure schemes because they really don't have a great pass rusher. They didn't have anybody with more than four sacks a year ago. Someone can easily check that, but I think that's true. So they don't really have a defensive lineman who's a dominant pass rusher. So I think you're going to see them use Adams. He's almost kind of a glorified linebacker when you get to your sub packages. He's really, really good at that. He is a dynamic, dynamic blitzer.
And a week after we asked you about Myles Garrett setting the contract record for his position, Joey Bosa now claims that spot. Joey Bosa is the best at what for his position?
Well, Joey Bosa and his brother Nick's the same way, and I'm sure they were taught this. Joey Bosa is dynamic using his hands and playing off contact. Because obviously in the NFL, you don't just run around offensive tackle. That just doesn't happen. But what you have to do is you have to find a way to play off contact. And both Boses, Joey obviously came first, they are so good at using their hands, winning the leverage game, getting offensive tackles off balance, and then getting to the quarterback and putting pressure on the quarterback. They are so good with their hand usage. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and tell you I'm an expert on how that's taught or how exactly it gets played out. I'm not a D-line coach, but I can watch the tape and see how well they do it. And they're both so, so good at that.
Greg, we love having this long segment back because we've always said from the very beginning when this was our original clock, this was a segment built for a guest like you. You're always the example we used. We're thrilled to be back on this clock to have a segment like this with you.
Well, no, I could talk with you guys all day long about this stuff. There's so, I was so fortunate this offseason. I don't want to sound fortunate because of a pandemic, but just to have an opportunity to talk with so many coaches because they were home too. So I spent so much time watching tape and talking to coaches that I've learned a ton.
Well, give us on the way out the trend, maybe one, I know there are several trends you've picked up on, maybe the top trend of what coaches are saying, not knowing that they're saying the exact same thing that the previous coach you spoke with said.
Well, I think you're seeing a couple of things. Let's just start on defense and we can talk offense another time. Okay. I think you're seeing more man-to-man coverage in the NFL. You're seeing a lot of more quick game in the pass game with three-step drops, quick five-step drops, RPOs. So the way that you have to disrupt that kind of pass game, because you don't get pressure on the quarterback, is you have to disrupt the routes. So you've got to play more man coverage. And I think something else you're seeing when you get into third down situations is something we've talked about with the Titans. You're seeing a lot more disguise and late movement because that makes – you're trying to slow down the decision-making process of the quarterback. Now, the great ones, obviously, they're a little smarter. They've seen a lot more. You know, when I talk to coaches, they say it's hard to do that with Brady or Breeze. But, you know, you're talking about first ballot Hall of Famers. Not everybody's Brady and Breeze. So I think you're seeing a lot more disguise and late movement out of nickel and dime packages.
Follow Greg on Twitter, at Greg Cosell. He's now been with NFL Films over 40 years, and he's joined us weekly going on 7 years, if I have my math right on that. Greg, thank you as always, and we look forward to this again next week.
Great. It was great to see you guys.
Greg Cosell has been our guest.